Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. This is it. This is Stuff Like Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Delaney. So what?
It's the Ripley's Odyssey. It's still a Ripley's Odyssey. We said we'd finish at Christmas, but we haven't. It's still going because there's so much meaty, juicy, believe it or not, goodness within those pages. We could do this forever until the next one comes out. Who knows? We're doing this episode remotely, as we normally do, but you, Sam, are in your rig at home, as usual. Yep. I am in a tour rig. I'm in the middle of the Atletico Mince live tour. I'm in Brighton. And I've scoured the bookshops of Brighton this morning to try and get a copy of Ripley's to use, and there's none to be had. So I think the Ripley's, Believe It or Not 2020, is the archetypal Brighton book, if you like.
Mate,
it appeals to the curious minds of the people of Brighton.
When we went to Brighton, you called it, what did you call it again?
Hipster Blackpool.
Hipster Blackpool. Blackpool for cunts, or did I imagine that?
No, I'm sure I didn't say
well,
that.
Well, anyway, you said hips of Blackpool. You were sceptical, but I would say Brighton is almost the best. It's up there in the very best top three Top Light Time Machines shows we've ever done, right? Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, I reckon it is, yeah.
And you,
yeah,
and
great
you,
crowd that night.
And you sold out a massive venue for
Mince
last
night. No, not a massive
one,
no. Well, 350-seater.
A lot bigger than Top Flight Time Machine.
Well, you're obviously, yeah.
Yeah. And it went well.
Two nights.
And it went well.
Two nights, four shows.
So, you're in,
shows
so that
night.
Means you've got the hotel room that you're in now.
Yeah. It's my rig.
When you know how, like, when me and you go away on Top Flight Time Machine, because it's not as big as Atletico Mince, we usually share
we
share a room and a bed. Do you do that with Bob as well?
Top to toe.
Is Bob in the room with you? No.
No, with me and Bob, we don't have any contact until we arrive at the venue, and we have a 30-second huddle before we go on, and then after the show, we just go our separate ways, so there's none of the domestic
issues that you and I encounter.
We have.
Yeah.
No, and obviously I'm in a much more expensive hotel on this tour. But
we've slept just in your car before. Huddled in the back seat.
Yeah.
In a lay-by, Kevin Keegan stuff. We call that doing a... Should we pull a Keegan tonight?
Pull a Keegan,
if we've not sold many tickets, sometimes we just think, well, we're going to have to bring overheads down. We're going to have to pull a Keegan on the outskirts of Bristol.
We'd just pull into a parking bay with all the lorries.
Yeah.
And
the lorry
We sit around the campsite fire with the lorry drivers.
Some of the lorry drivers get, after a couple of drinks, they pass around a bottle of light brandy as they tell stories of being on the road. And it's fun to begin with, but, you know, sometimes I find them intimidating.
A little bit. When they start singing their murder shanties.
Yeah.
That gets a bit
and
much.
And they know that we're not truckers. They know we're podcasters.
Yeah, and we can't reveal any more than that because there's the trucker's code.
Yeah,
what happens in the lay-by stays in the lay-by.
Yes.
And you're not allowed to report back.
And
on
it's
what,
sort of
what
like it's like many things I've done in my life. I think it's all fun and games going along with the mob, and then things turn dark, and I think, oh, I'm in too deep.
I'm out of my depth. Yeah,
I'm out of my depth. This is not a situation that I should be in. I'm just a podcaster. Yeah. I'm not a trucker.
Yeah.
Why am I
podcaster.
Hanging out at these trucks? Why am I a humble podcaster? The trucker life is not one for me.
My world is the world of the USB microphone and the recording software and the comfort of my home. This is not for me.
I've seen the film Convoy many times.
Yeah, it's not like that, is it?
It's not. You know, if they made a film of the equivalent for podcasters, it would be very different.
Yeah. I mean, I still remember, this is probably before your time, but I still remember TV show BG and the Bear.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of it, yeah.
The truck driver who had a monkey companion.
Mm.
I mean, that's the dream, isn't it? But
I'd love a podcast with a monkey. It's only a matter of time before Spotify are one of the big players in this market. do something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I'm looking at BJ and the Bear on Amazon now to see if the DVDs exist. No. No. It's one of those things that's been consigned to history forever, probably for the best. I mean, the fella himself was called BJ, which in itself is a bit problematic in this day and age.
It was created probably by Aaron Spelling in the 70s. We originally wanted to call it Blowjob on the Bear, but for some reason, some of our advertisers and sponsors took exception to the explicit nature of the title, even though I knew it would be a ratings hit.
Fucking hell. Good stuff.
Aaron Spelling, we've got to move on to Ripley's. Well, but just going to make a note here, Aaron Spelling character could, you know, something we could play with. Anyway.
Our young audience are definitely going to be into that.
Yeah. TV impresario of the 70s and 80s and 90s, of course, because he was behind Beverly Hills 90210. And in fact, put his daughter in the show, didn't he?
Yeah.
Tori Spelling.
Hey, listen to this. I've gone deeper. BJ and the Bear was created by Glenn A. Larson. Right. Now, Glenn A. Larson is a fucking American TV giant, and I'm not saying that lightly. Listen to this.
Right.
The $6 Million Man.
Fucking hell.
Quincy.
Fucking hell.
Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
Buck Rogers in the 25th Century.
Fucking hell.
BJ and the Bear. Magnum P.I. The Fall Guy. Oh. Knight Rider.
Fucking hell.
Manimal.
Okay. He's like, pitch meeting at NBC. What do you got for us, Glenn? What do you want? Got dead guy driving a talking car. Mustachioed spy in Hawaii who drives a helicopter and a Ferrari. A man who can turn into any animal he wants. A guy who dies and then is brought back together with electric vision and jumping abilities. I could go on. A trucker who has a bear companion. How many ideas do you want? A doctor who's also a detective. I can just keep going with this shit. A stuntman who's also solving crimes. I'll stop. You want me to stop? I hope you're writing these down. Every single one's a hit.
A pillow salesman with a false leg who could see into the future. That's a series. But there's a dark side. James Garner from the Rockford Files, which Glenn Larson didn't do, in his autobiography, The Garner Files, very good, says they felt that Glenn A. Larson had stolen lots of plots from the Rockford Files and put different characters in them.
Fucking hell. Here's the real trick, right? They go, oh, you got all the concepts, but we need more detail than that. Hey, detail, Schmiedel. Once you've sold people on the big idea, you just steal old plots from the Rockford Files and change around the names. Bingo! Bingo, kaboom. Bingo! Kaboom! There's your ratings right there. You think the American public are going to notice the difference?
So, the Rockford Files complained to the Writers Guild and Larson was fined, but James Garner felt the fine had taught Larson nothing when he persisted in plagiarism and later copied the theme music from the Rockford Files for one of his shows.
I'll tell you what, I double down.
Yeah,
I fucking double down on it, you cunt. Hey, at the awards ceremony. Hey, Garner, over here. It's me, Glenn Larson. Yeah. Just going to say, thanks a bunch for complaining about me, you fucking grass, to the TV authorities. 50 grand, no problem. Paid it cash, didn't I?
Didn't touch the fucking sides, mate.
Didn't touch the fucking sides. I tell you what, keep an eye on the next series of Quincy, right? Because let's just say there might be a few plot lines you're familiar with. And James Garner's like, what the? I can't believe you.
I thought they dealt with you.
Think again, dickhead. Right. By the way, you're going to love the new fucking theme tune for Manimal. Guess what? And here's another one. Knight Rider. I've had a great idea. We're going to start every episode with one of them fucking answer phone messages. Why you? I'll do this. Yeah, good luck trying, dickhead. Go on. Run off and grasp me again to the fucking ideas police. Tell them next time I'll pay them fucking double and buy them a fucking drink as well.
There's more, Sam. Garner stated that when Larson subsequently showed up on the Rockford set, so he's turned up.
All right, dickheads.
Yeah. I'll just come with my notepad, get a few ideas.
No. You lot carry on. I'm just observing.
I'll just sit in the corner. Larson showed up on the Rockford set and put his arm around Garner and said, "I hope there are no hard feelings, Jim." After Larson ignored a warning by James Garner to take his arm off him, Garner, in his book, Garner claims that he punched Larson so hard that Larson flew across the curb into a motorhome and out the other side.
This is the fucking best thing I've ever read. We've got a deep dive James Garner splash. The cunt's turned up one day on the fucking set of my show. I couldn't believe it. Next thing, that he's fucking antagonising me, put his arm around my fucking shoulders. I said to him, "Listen, cunt, I'm going to count to three, right? And if that arm isn't off my fucking shoulders, right, you're going through that fucking motorhome."
Needless to say.
Next thing, 3 seconds later, the cunt was flying in one end, out the fucking other. There was an elderly couple in there having their fucking tea. They couldn't believe it. They're sat there minding their own business. Suddenly a 6-foot cunt fucking fly straight through one window and out the other. They've given it. "Honey, was that Glenn Larson, creator of Quincy, who just flew through our motorhome?"
Oh, man. So there, I don't even know how we've got into that, but...
Fucking hell.
We've established...
That's the beauty of Top Flight Time Machine.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
We have basically unearthed, or you've unearthed, one of the greatest stories of modern civilization, and there was no way we would have known that unless you'd said about BJ and the Bear. And here we are, Glenn A. Larson. Have you found a picture of him?
Yeah, we've gone within minutes of hailing him as the greatest man in the history of American television to one of American television's biggest cunts as well.
Is he a cunt, or do you have to admire his bravado,
his chutzpah?
I mean, you gotta say, right, the fact that he did it, then got fined. Then he got basically, I think he got lamparded by Garner, right?
By Garner.
And I don't feel good talking about Garner negatively, because my mum, who is one of those women who basically fancies almost every man on TV. Oh, you name fucking anyone, she went, "I like him. I actually think he's quite dishy," right?
Or dishy,
anyone who's a leading man on any show, British or American, in the 70s or 80s, my mum had a thing for, right? And we used to do this joke. It's actually quite disgusting, but we used to observe that when someone came on the telly that she liked when we were all sitting around watching telly, me and my brothers would notice that her foot would start to go. So she'd start to tap her foot, sort of thing, right? But like quite fast.
She was getting triggered.
When she was getting triggered. It was her trigger foot, right? And so whether it was Dennis Waterman in The Sweeney, right, or fucking, I mean, she favourites were like David Essex, obviously, but then most people fancied him. But she had everyone. But the main person my mum fancied above all others was James Garner when he was in the Rockford Files. She was
quite right, I think,
obsessed with him. Right,
he was gone.
As a result, because I didn't have a dad at home, notwithstanding temporary cameo dads like Archie Buchanan, the milkman.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. In many ways, I think growing up, James Garner was like my imaginary dad, because I felt as if he was my mum's boyfriend, because she was that triggered by him and talked about him so much.
So close to him, yeah.
So he was like a dad to me, but now I don't feel good about him, because I think he should have just risen above it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Garner didn't write the Rockford Files anyway, did he?
No, he didn't, but I think Garner was the kind of man who was very emotionally connected to everything he did. I mean, listen a little bit about James Garner's background.
Right.
At the age of 16, he joined the United States Merchant Marines near the end of World War II.
Mm.
So he got involved in the war, and then he enlisted in the California Army National Guard and went to Korea for 14 months during the Korean War.
What a guy.
As a rifleman, and he was wounded twice, first in the face and hand by shrapnel from a mortar round, and the second incident, he was wounded in the buttocks.
The buttocks.
From the buttocks from friendly fire from US fighter jets as he dived into a foxhole.
Fucking hell.
Cut him in the arse.
A foxhole.
Yeah. He went, obviously, face first into the foxhole, but still got him in the arse.
Fuck, they got me in the arse.
They got me in the US arse.
Jalapeño.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
But he received a Purple Heart for his career stint.
Right.
So, you know, not a shrinking violet, I would say.
A man, I mean, because at first, my first instinct was that sounds like bullshit that he punched a man and sent him flying right through a motorhome.
Yeah.
It sounds like the sort of lie you'd tell at school.
I exaggerated that, I'm sure, yeah.
I've never, I mean, even if Mike Tyson punched you, even if Mike Tyson punched Charles Hawtrey, right, which
yeah,
would be an improbable scenario, Hawtrey's dead, but let's say before, I think their lives did overlap for a certain number of years.
Yeah.
If Mike Tyson, there's an experiment on a TV show like You Bet, remember You Bet? And it's like, we're going to see, or like the Late Late Breakfast Show with Noel Edmonds, sort of thing, they're doing that. We're going to do a little experiment. We're going to see how far Mike Tyson can punch Charles Hawtrey. Right? Can he punch him clean through a motorhome? I don't think he could. I think you punch someone, and even if they're very lightweight, which, by the way, Glenn A. Larson doesn't seem to be, seems like quite a big chap, right?
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to get sparked straight. I just think they're going to get sparked out. They don't fly through the air for that long. Doesn't
happen. He's used a bit of hyperbole there in that thing in his book, hasn't he? Sally Field, the actress, described Garner as the best cinematic kiss she'd ever experienced. So tell that to your mum.
Whoa,
that's good news.
Who said that, Sally?
Sally Field.
Sally Field. I think my mum likes her too.
She's been around. She's done a few things.
Well, don't forget, she's kissed Burt Reynolds.
And Garner also admitted in his book that he smoked marijuana for much of his adult life.
Good lad.
That's quite a big thing to admit for someone back then, isn't it?
Back then, yeah. Now you can get away with it.
He said, I drank to get drunk, but ultimately didn't like the effect. Not so with grass. It had the opposite effect from alcohol. It made me tolerant and forgiving.
Yeah.
I did a little bit of cocaine in the 80s, courtesy of John Belushi. Of course, everyone did. But fortunately, I didn't like it.
Got on the fanny powder for a while, thanks to Paltrow.
Yeah,
didn't like but what it did to me.
Thanks to Joe Cocker. I smoke marijuana for 50 years and I don't know where I'd be without it. It opened my mind and it now eases my arthritis. Oh. After decades of research, I've concluded marijuana should be legal and alcohol illegal.
Fucking hell, decades of research. Well done, James Garner.
Very active research as well.
He's been on the microfiche and he up the library. I don't know how he found the time between beating people up and being an international acting star. I can't film anything on Tuesdays. So I'll be on the microfiche up the library, won't I? Researching the effects of marijuana in comparison to those of alcohol.
I think the marijuana research was mostly just smoking the stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think he went near a microfiche.
Yeah. Still, but if you're a man as rich as that, the big film stars, the really big film stars, the big celebs in Hollywood all have microfiche machines in their homes. A lot of them have microfiche rooms so they can just do research whenever they want on any subject they choose. Because they're not going to go down the library, are they? And fucking, you won't get like Madonna, do you know what I mean? Or Lionel Richie or Angelina Jolie going up the local library to do their research. They have microfiche in their house with every slide they could need.
Michael Jackson didn't have one in his house, famously, because he didn't trust it. He thought that the government were trying to spy on him. So when he needed to use the microfiche, he'd have the entire library closed down. at like 9 p.m. so he could go himself and just have the run of the place and use the microfiche without being troubled by
civilians. I've seen microfiche and they say such awful things. Things that are just ignorant and lies. And I think it's the government. And that's why I'd like to go straight to the source of the microfiche.
This story's from National Enquirer. I don't like what they say about me and about bubbles. So I go to the library because I can trust those guys.
He did used to get the library shut down. Quincy Jones used to do that as well, still does.
Yeah, he'd ring up, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
All right, Quincy Jones here. Yeah, I got Jacko. Yeah, Jacko's itching to come and have a go on the microfiche again. How about Thursday night? I know we don't want to shut it down when you're open. He'll come at like 8 o'clock when everyone's gone home.
But you're going to have to keep a member of staff or two on.
Yeah, like you need someone on the door and someone to guide him round.
We could cover the overtime or at least make a contribution to it.
50% maybe. Yeah.
Now, I've heard that some evenings you stay open to do like old pensioners yoga classes, right? We don't want to be overlapping with any of that shite.
No.
Right? Move it to another night because he just wants it, just him, me, and whoever you've got doing that shift.
Yeah, and we're going to want to park right outside the front door, so I'll ring the council and I'll get them to turn a blind eye on the double yellers. So hopefully we'll be all right. And, he's bringing the monkey as well. See you Thursday. Ta-da.
That's how they worked it. But, you know, that's you got to do your research. Just because you become famous doesn't mean you have to suddenly stop your research.
Of course not.
So you got to find a way.
It keeps you going. Yeah. It keeps you going, isn't it? It keeps you at the top. It's what keeps us at the top.
Yeah.
So, we've done James Garner there and Glenn Larson in our Ripley's Believe It or Not episode.
Now, the good news is we are supposed to be doing Ripley's and we might still have about another 10 minutes.
Yeah, we've got a few minutes so, we can do a little bit.
You're in your rig, your luxury Atletico Mints rig in Brighton.
Yeah.
And you didn't bring your Ripley's with you, but you did bring on tour with you the random number generating blob, which
I've
is interesting.
I did remember to bring the blob. I mean, I couldn't leave it at home for a week.
So is it's on the road with you across all the dates?
Yeah, yeah.
You couldn't find anyone to water it back in Sunderland?
No, I don't trust anyone to look after it properly. It's very, very delicate.
Yeah.
It needs a very very precise care package. So I brought it with me.
And you wouldn't leave it in the house with the kiddies and the dog, would you?
No, not with the dog. Alone. The dog would try and fuck it, probably.
Yeah. Probably feel quite nice, to be fair.
Well, not really.
Anyway,
imagine the mess. So, yeah, so I've got the random blob. I'm going to give you a number from it here.
Okay.
It's weirdly keeps choosing numbers we've already had, so I don't know what we'll get. 142. You've got to turn the pages here, Sam, and give me an indication of what's on there
because I don't have a copy.
Waterstones, no, nothing. WH Smith's, nothing.
Exactly the sort of thing you often find in WH Smith's.
Well, I'd have thought they would have had some on half price after Christmas, you know, with the Guinness Book of Records and that, but no, nothing.
Okay, so what we've got is, it's not very good. It's drawings of superheroes, okay?
Oh, God.
Matchbook art. Artist Mike Bell collects matchbooks to turn them into unique miniature 3D portrait sculptures. So these are... Yeah, so what he does is he opens them up, he draws a superhero, like, as you can see, Spider-Man, Catwoman... Good.
Accurate drawings,
Batman,
yeah.
Really good drawings. But then if you look at the matches, he folds the matches out at the bottom and turns them into their hands. So it's their, you know, Catwoman's claw, Spider-Man's web hand, and Batman's bat hand.
That's the laziest page I think I've seen so far in this Ripley's book.
The thing about Ripley's Believe It or Not, and the reason we decided to deep dive it, which might seem strange to some people because this is supposed to be a football podcast, is that every single thing is the maddest thing you've ever seen, right? So like a duck with an arrow through its head, or you know, I don't know what else. There's a lion driving a fucking like fast car. There's people sacrificing fucking crocodiles.
There's a man in France lifting a ban on potatoes.
Yeah, exactly, right? There's monkeys operating machinery. There's a snake growing out of a seal's nose. There's a chimp playing the drums. There's everything that you never knew you wanted to see until you see it, and then you're like, yeah, that is fucking astounding. So it's unfortunate the Blob's not on form because probably it's on the road. It's lacking energy. I know from my experience of touring with Top Flight Time Machine, you often don't eat properly. You eat at irregular hours and often non-nutritious foodstuffs because you have to just grab whatever you can.
Yeah.
And the process of touring just simply discombobulates you. And I've got a feeling that might have happened to the Blob. I'll pick out another random story from 142 to see if we... Give us a number.
If you could.
Give us a number between 1 and 9.
8.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8. Oh, and funnily enough, the title of this story is 8-Second Concert. On June the 29th, 2017, Japanese band Golden Bomber... Fucking great name for
a
band.
That's a fantastic name. How has no one come up with that name until now?
Golden Bomber. Sight unseen, I would buy tickets for that gig. Right, Japanese band Golden Bomber gave an 8-second concert in Tokyo to promote their single, an 8-second song called 8-Second Encounter. Fans had waited in line for 6 hours for the free concert and were rewarded when the band did an encore, performing a different song in full. So the encore lasted longer than the concert. 8 seconds. Mm. There you go, dickheads. TTFN. Yeah.
Oh, that was worth 17 quid.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah, something that, again, make a note of that in your little ideas notebook.
Do you believe that or not?
I believe it.
I believe it as well, yeah.
Don't forget, the Japanese people are famously polite.
Yes.
And one thing they hate, as I understand it, I've never been there, is public scenes of emotion. They don't like making a scene or a stir.
Yeah.
And so I think you could get away with this. I think if we tried it with Top Light Time Machine and we just did 8 seconds and people had paid their money, I think they'd
get away with it.
I think we'd struggle to get away with it.
Do you think? I was wanting to go to Tokyo.
Well, fuck knows, I would like to try. No, I'm saying in front of an English audience. I'd do it in Japan, no problem.
Yeah, in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I'll do that then. Oh, well, let's have one more page then because that one was a massive flop. Oh, fucking hell, 139. It's gone from 142 to 139. Raise your fucking game, Blob.
All right. This is simply a load of weird models who have made costumes for themselves out of dead animals, including animal skulls, necklaces out of animal skulls, necklaces made from mussel shells, and sort of headdresses made of birds' feathers. I mean... Sort of strange when you first hear it, but in a way, all fucking clothes are made of animals, aren't they? I mean, not all
of
them.
Well, not anymore. Not anymore. The vegans are taking over now.
Yeah.
You can get clogs and hats, I think, that are vegan.
A vegan hat? What, made of wood?
A vegan hat.
Wooden hat. Okay. Right, anyway, the headline is...
Wait in the rain.
If looks could kill. All right, there is one good picture. There's one good picture here. And it's good if you just look at it and I don't read the context. The headline is White Rat. And there is a picture of a white rat, dead, with big red balls, being dissected by a scalpel. And that is a disturbing but extraordinary image and the sort of thing that you expect to see in Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Wow. I do believe it, though. I choose to believe it. Very quickly, page 80, Sam. The Blob's
80. All right. Let's see. I've got a good feeling about 80. 79.
What a good one on 80. 80 is a good number.
Too bad you didn't say 79 because there's fucking loads of bears on that one. Right. Hand bridge. This is a bridge. The Golden Bridge on Ba Na Hill near Da Nang, Vietnam, features two giant hand structures seemingly holding up the walkway. The uniquely designed bridge has attracted tons of tourists who enjoy... How many tourists has it attracted? Oh, I don't know. It doesn't say the language. Just write tons. Just write tons. It's more vague, but it sounds impressive. It's a gold-plated pedestrian way. It's a great bridge. And it's supposed to be the hands of God pulling a strip of gold out of the land. If you look at the image here, I don't know if you can see that, Andy.
Oh, that's nice,
They're massive hands.
They're huge hands made of rock. Either
and
side.
They're gigantic, and they do look exactly how you'd imagine God's hands to look.
And the fingers are right up above bridge level, and it does look as if the bridge is just being held in the hands. That's nice.
Oh, God. Look at these hands, right? All rough. You think they're made of concrete, but it's just their rock because, as God, I've been fucking working with my hands
for my fucking bollocks
fucking
off.
Millennials. I've been working like a cunt. And that's why my hands look like this, like fucking tramp's hands. But they are half big.
I get Sunday off and I spend my whole time with fucking hand cream, rubbing hand cream into them.
Now, you look at it, you think, imagine the fingering I could give someone with a big fucking giant fingers like that. But three good reasons why I wouldn't do it. One, I am God and I'm not in the fingering game. That's disrespectful.
I'm not giving it up easy.
No.
Angelina Jolie, baby. That's about it.
Number two, right, they're too big and they would probably be dangerous in most fannies or bumholes. And number three, right, because as God, I'm also gender neutral. And number three, it would fucking not only hurt them, it would hurt me because the eczema I've got, possibly psoriasis, I don't know, it could be stress related. The doctors are confounded by the old thing. But it's just no good. It would just hurt me. And so, no, it's a no-go as far as I'm concerned, John God.
I've got enough on my plate.
Anyway, that's me, John God, checking out for now. TTFN. Another update.
New podcast on Acast, Spotify, Apple, all the usual outlets.
All the usual places.
It's me, John God, putting the world to rights twice a week.
We've got to do the John God podcast.
We do.
And
I think we do.
My fucking dickhead son, clumsy, calamitous bastard, John Jesus. Come on, John, come on. You can have a little go as well on my microphone.
If you think antagonising the pharmacist community was a big deal, wait till the fucking religious minorities get into us. Oh,
fucking
brilliant.
Hell.
All right, that's enough for this. We've gone for Well, we've tried to do Ripley's Odyssey, but we ended up with Glenn Larson, James Garner, and John God.
John
mainly.
God.
Mm. But it's been good. I've enjoyed it.
It's been
hope
great.
You have as well.
All right.
Thanks for listening, everyone. TTFN.
TTFN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.